Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the young. And like we say that every week, and it is so true. Amen. God is a good God. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, we are an interactive Bible study. Amen. And we have speakers that come on from various locations, and the Lord has placed a word on their heart to come and share with the body of Christ. And we are thankful that the Lord uses each and every one of them to come and share the word of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Mm-hmm. As we move forward, we'd like to let you know that any of these messages that you would like to hear, you can go into the archives. And when you go into the archives, you would type in Blog Talk Radio. And once you type in Blog Talk Radio, then you would type in We Can Begin Again. And you can hear this message. And I'm sure that we're going to be blessed this evening with Pastor Connor on the line. Amen, amen, amen.
You'll also find a link on our Facebook page. If you go to New Beginnings Ministries on Facebook, there's always a link to every message that we do every week. And the link will also take you to the archive library. Or you can check with John or myself and our web pages, or give us a call and we'll send you the link. So if there's anything that you think you missed, anything you want to review, anything you want to go back and discover, there's over 7 years of messages
Amen.
That have been done every
Amen.
Single Wednesday.
And everyone has been a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Also, we'd like to let you know that, we have, again, we have an interactive Bible study, and when the speaker, the pastor, comes on and he opens up the mics, all right, we can, we will open up the mics and you can share whatever is on your heart. Amen. Again, we are an interactive Bible study. It's almost like sitting around a table and, you know, just brothers and sisters in the word of the Lord, and just, you know, just feeding on the word of the Lord. Amen. And when you think about what God says about the word, he says, you know, talk about, you know, eating of the word. He says, I'm good. Just taste me. Just taste me. Just try me. And I guarantee you'll like
Amen.
What you're tasting.
Amen.
Because God's word is good.
If you need to speak and your mic is muted, you can just press 1, I believe it is, the signal.
Yes, number 1.
And that'll give us the signal to unmute you. But you'll have the opportunity throughout, and you'll get the signal that your mic is open if you want to jump in and share as we go.
Amen, amen.
And it's important that we share and we have a dialogue.
Amen, amen, amen. And that was my wife, Dr. Suzanne Hawthorne Clay, who was speaking on there. As we move forward, we're going to move on over into Virginia. Amen. We have a speaker that we're just waiting to hear what the Lord has placed on his heart. And after we pray, the next voice that you hear will be Pastor Donald Connor. Amen.
Father God, what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is pray. If there's someone whose name you want to call out, just call their name out. You don't have to give all their information if you don't want to. The Lord knows for sure. But we want to make sure that we lift people up in prayer. When people ask you to pray,
mm-hmm.
It's always good to immediately pray. I know I had a friend that was ill, and he says, Susie, people say they're going to pray for me, but I don't know if they really do. I like to hear them pray. I want to hear the words over me.
Mm.
And that really spoke to me when she said that, because I'll write down the names and I'll pray for folks, but sometimes you need to pray immediately. So if you have a prayer list, if you're praying for folks ongoing, if someone has called you to pray, just remember how much power there is in prayer, how much influence
yes.
you have in the kingdom and on the heavenlies by calling on the Lord for your help, to sustain you, to shore you up, that in the name of Jesus you have been given the authority and the privilege of being able to pray. And that's an honor. It's an honor when someone asks you to pray. So, Father God, we just come before you this evening, dear Lord, and we thank you, dear Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh,
yes.
our provider, dear Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, that you are our healer, Father God, and that despite what's going on in the world, Father God, that we know, Father God, as believers, that you are in control, dear
yes.
Lord. We praise you and we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, from the rising of the sun, Lord,
to the setting of the same, Father God. We thank you and we praise you, dear Lord. We thank you that you would bless each and every family unit that is represented on this call, Father God, that the households, Father God, be blessed, Father God, that there be peace in their homes, Father God, that their minds are clear, Father God, and ready to receive the message that you have for us this evening, dear Lord.
Yes.
We ask you, Lord, to bless the families that are connected to us, Father God, and those who wanted to be here, who couldn't be here, Father God, those who've been here in the past, dear Lord, and even for the folks that you're going to bring in the future, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this ministry, Father God, be a tool, Father God, of evangelism, Father God, a tool, Father God, for the saints, Father God, to come together to pray, dear Lord, and even in this season of isolation with COVID-19, Father God, that there's a place that they can come and look forward to be social, Father God, but most importantly, dear Lord, to sit around the table and to talk about the goodness of you.
Yes.
We praise you and thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we lift up these particular people, Father God, for healing, Father God, and for answers to their prayers, dear Lord, who have requested prayer. That's Laura P's husband. We lift him up right now in the name of Jesus, that he experienced healing and restoration,
yes,
along with Ruth Thornton's daughter. We praise God for the good report regarding Stephanie B. We praise God for that report.
Yes,
we need to hear. We thank you, dear Lord, that we have an opportunity, dear Lord, to praise you, Father God, to glorify you, Lord, for answers to our prayers, dear Lord.
Yes.
We pray, Father God, for those that are in rebellion, Father God, in our country, Father God, that they will see the light, that those, Father God, that claim to be Christians, Father God, that they, Father God, will turn their hearts towards you, Father God, and come under the kingdom agenda, Father God, not man's agenda,
yes,
not the U.S. agenda, Father,
yes,
God, but under the kingdom agenda, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, and pray, Father God, for Claudia, that she would have safe travel and safety on her job, that even though she's placed in a situation, Father God, that might be harrowing, Father God, for people that are working in health care, Father God, but that she is protected, Father God, because she is under the blood.
Yes,
we pray for Desi, Father God, that she has continued and a renewed strength, Father God, from the effects of the stroke, that there be no residual effects that are visible or even internal, Father God, that she would have no visible, no effects that linger, Father God, from stroke.
Yes.
We lift up Danielle Thomas, Father God, and we praise God, dear Lord, and thank you for the good report with her, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just like Stephanie, Father God, we are for Stephanie, Father God, we are rejoicing, Father God, for the same thing, Father God. Answers to prayer, regardless of what the enemy says, is your report that we want to believe.
Yes,
and dear Lord, we lift up Sherlene Perkins, Father God, and Nancy Shaw, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they will be restored also, dear Lord. We lift up Keita Thomas, Father God, and Christine James, dear Lord. We lift up Linda Taylor and Altenise Bell. We thank you, Lord, for the praise report about Linda Taylor, Father God. Hey, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
These praise reports are coming in, and we praise God for that because it encourages the saints, dear Lord, and we praise you, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you, Father God, and ask you, Lord, to just bless those that are struggling with illness and sickness and disease and depression and isolation right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We cover all children, Father God. Children, Father God, that may be experiencing trauma, Father God, that they would have peace, Father God, that they would be protected, Father God, that there would be someone, Father God, to come in and defend them, Father God, lift them up, Father God.
Yes.
We pray against hunger, Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And disparities where it comes to education and with health. Is there anyone else's name that you all would like to lift up?
Yes.
Oh, my
Yes, I would like to. Add Brother Jones. His leg was amputated.
Yes.
Praise God. We come against that spirit of disease and infirmity right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That is bound, paralyzed, and inoperative in Jesus' name. And we lift up Brother Jones.
Father God, we thank you and we lift up Jackie Kane and Norman Rice and Bill Spratlin,
yes,
and the Hobbs sisters, Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes.
Pearlie Keller,
yes,
Patsy Coggins, and James Manuel, in Jesus'
yes.
name. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else?
Tisha Tidwell, also on the list, amen. Pastor Robinson, he's continuing asking for prayer as well. We continue to keep him on our prayer list. We also have Sean Wilborn. We have him on our list today. Amen, amen. Robert Barnes, we have him on our list. Hallelujah. Walter Radcliffe, we have him on our prayer list. Amen. Do I hear others?
Amen. This is Pastor Miles. Keisha Tidwell, I talked to her. She gave me a praise report before broadcast today that the pain that she had last week is no longer in her body.
Hallelujah.
And she was also blessed to see her. Also, she was also blessed to see her birthday on yesterday, what she celebrated. So I want to share that.
Amen.
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 Amen. Father, we lift up Dave Walker and Eric Jones as well, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to heal them, Father God. You've done it before. You still do it again.
Yes, you will.
If you've read his resume, read his resume.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Praise God. Praise
yes.
God. Healing. Healing. Healing is a gift of the kingdom.
Yes.
Anyone else?
Yes, I have a praise
yes.
report from Molly. She doesn't have bone cancer. They did all the work on her, and they discovered she doesn't have bone cancer. So that's a blessing.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Again,
Hallelujah.
Whose report are we going to believe? I feel like dancing.
The Lord of the Lord. Hallelujah.
I don't want to say.
Hallelujah.
Anyone else?
Yes, I'd like to ask prayer for Glenda Hinton and her family, Marvin Lewis and his family, Teresa McKitchen, her family. She has an aunt that will be 93 on Sunday, and they are just making her comfortable right now. So please lift them in prayer. Prayer for the Cotton family who just lost their mother,
yes.
and we're asking for prayer for them. And I would like to pray for my coworkers, any of them that I don't know that have things going on in their life situations or they have finance problems. I pray that whatever they are going through or if they're going through something, that they come out of it, because we know you have to go through it for it to be your next move. So if you could just pray for these people for me, and pray for me and my family, pray for the Stokes Clay Brown family.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. The going through, there's lessons in the going through.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you because we know that even in adversity, God is
yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
In Jesus' sweet and holy name, dear Lord, we
yes.
lift up these prayers tonight.
Yes.
We lift up
prayers.
All
the
of these
prayers.
People,
yes.
Father God, the names that have been called out,
yes.
Father
in
God,
the name of
and
Jesus.
Those that are on our heart, Father. We lift them up to you. We lay them at your feet. We just lay them at your feet,
yes, Father,
Father God. Not to pick them up again, Father God, but believing, Father God, that you and knowing that you have it in control,
yes,
and believing
you.
For the healing and the restoration,
yes.
Father God, and the address, and that that we'll have more and more praise reports that are forthcoming in Jesus' sweet and holy
name.
We thank you, Lord, that there'll be no backlash or retaliation from this prayer, that there'll be peace, that we look for praise and praise. And more praise
amen.
In Jesus' sweet, 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 holy
amen.
Name. Amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
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 We're going to move on over into Virginia, and we have a first-time speaker who has just joined the family, and welcome him, amen, with a loving heart, amen. Pastor Donald Connor, and also he hails from Princeton, West Virginia. So this is the second pastor we've had that's coming on from Princeton, West Virginia. He now resides in Virginia. Pastor Connor, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I pray you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you clear. Amen. We're going to turn
oh,
it over to you, and I'm going to move out of the way.
Praise God. Well, I appreciate this opportunity. I always ask, can you hear me? Because having done church from the COVID living rooms and dining rooms and and pickup trucks, you know, the first thing you know is that technology can let you down. I'm so glad. Another thing that has happened, I've learned how to hit my time. You know, I've been a pastor for 17 years, and I've learned that I can actually minister in less than 2 hours. I was like, I can go from beginning to end, get a whole service in 1 hour's time. I promise I can do it. And so I've learned to hit my time. It's amazing to me. I didn't think I could do it. But I do want to talk to you, and I'm so thankful for this opportunity. Last week was the first time I'd ever tuned in, and this week I'm on. I listened to Bishop Storrs last week. As I said, we used to call him Little Charles, and of course, he's been Bishop Storrs for some time, but none of us are little anymore. I want to talk about knowing that the Lord is just, knowing that the Lord is just. And my subheading was A Righteous God in Unholy Times. And my subheading, if you will, is Social Justice is God's Justice.
Amen.
If you're sitting there, you can say amen or you can say hey man, but I'm not going to change what I said. And I want you to know that I was going another way altogether. And every one of you would have said, that is a nice guy. He is such a nice guy. And I hope we get him back real soon. But I ran into this scripture, and I ran into it 3 times in 3 days. And I realized that it's something that the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak on for this particular time. As I said, I've been a pastor for 17 years, so I'm used to looking at people looking at me funny. And now I'm on the radio, so I'm on the telephone line, so I can't even see y'all looking at me funny. So I'm just assuming that you're all smiling and telling me to go ahead. Go ahead, son, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I want
go
you
ahead.
To know that I started out as a Sunday school teacher a long, long, long time ago, and then from Sunday school teacher, I was Sunday school superintendent, and from Sunday school superintendent, they made me a deacon. Then they made me a minister. Then they made me a janitor. Then they made me a bus driver. Then they made me an elder, but they let me keep being a janitor and a bus driver. And then when I thought I had it all figured out, they kicked me out and told me to go be a pastor, and I had to start all over again. I thought I could turn in my janitor's keys, and I still get to be the janitor and the bus driver and everything in between. I've been married to my beautiful wife for 31 years, and I have 3 children and a grandchild, and that's all. I'll talk about that. I have my master's degree in pastoral counseling, and I like to tell this part of my life story. I was well on my way to my PhD in pastoral counseling when they diagnosed me with leukemia the day before my 50th birthday. And next, you know, 1 minute I got it all figured out. You know, I had my day planned for my birthday. I said, on my birthday, I'm going to play basketball in the morning, and then I'm going to bench press 400 pounds just before I leave, and then I'm going to go play golf. And I sat around on my birthday with my mouth hanging open most of the time. I didn't do any of that because I had just been thrown a curb. I'm here to tell you that was 7 years ago. And God is so faithful. He's taken me through chemotherapy. He's taken me through all sorts of things like that. And I found out that God is faithful. So I began to listen to God. I began to seek after God a different way. You'll seek after God a different way when you sit in a chemotherapy room getting poison dripped into your veins, watching people around you waste away and die. You'll start to think about God in a different way. You'll start to think of him as he really is. He's your provider. He really is your healer. You really start to dig into by my stripes you are healed, because it means something to you now. And I'm so grateful that God has given me a new relationship with him. I've got a brand new relationship with knowing, but I want to talk, I want to talk about knowing that the Lord is just. Psalm chapter 97, verse number 1 says, "The Lord is king, let the earth rejoice. Let the farthest coastlands be glad. Dark clouds surround him." And I want you to pay attention to this. "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne." So when the psalmist talks about God the Father, he says that righteousness and justice are the very foundation of who he is. So, and Sister Clay, in your prayer, you just kept saying things that I actually have written on my paper. You know, because we like to say that God is in control. Amen. We love to say God is in control. But I don't think that most Christians actually believe about the God that they speak that over. You know, they don't believe in his, they don't believe in his attributes while saying God is in control. So while they say God is in control with their mouth, their heart is far from him. They think that this world is spinning out of control and that God is not paying any attention. I'm here to tell you that God is paying attention. The God that I believe in, the God that exists all by himself, the self-existent God, is the one who's empowered completely by himself. He really is in control. And that God says, I'm a just God. I'm a just God. Righteous and justice are the foundation of my throne. So, and I said I was going to give this brief prophecy that the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit while I was looking out my window washing dishes one day, thinking about all of the stuff that I had just seen on my television. And I don't know if it affects everybody the same way, but after a while, it begins to pile up on you. It begins to, if you're not careful, the spirit and the root of bitterness will get up on you when you see some of the things that you see lived out every day, not just in the United States, lived out in Rwanda, lived out in Uganda, lived out in Nigeria, lived out in Syria. I'm watching children get blown away. They're, you know, I just can't take it anymore. So I had to talk with God. I had to talk with God because I said, Lord, the very fabric of our nation seems to be torn apart right in front of my eyes. And then I asked God a question. And I don't know if y'all talk to God like I talk to God. I said, what are you doing, God? What are you doing? And if I may make so bold, I asked him as an African-American man in the United States of America. I said, this doesn't make any sense. And quickly God cut me off in no uncertain terms. He said, oh, you hold up right there. He said, I am a God of justice. And immediately the peace of God that passes all understanding became my peace, because I realized that the God of justice was speaking to me about his nature, you know. And I'll talk to you about the God of justice in a minute, but let me tell you what he told me. He said, you tell them, never forget that I am a just God, and I will never forget my loved one. I will redeem her and show her my favor. Now listen to my community. For too long now, your captivity has been long and harsh, so long that you forgot my name. Your shame became a badge for you, and you began to define yourself by your mistreatment. No longer will you be remembered as the children of slaves. This made me happy. Or the children of oppression, or the children of the broken society. For I, the Lord, have redeemed you. Many of you will arise to places of prominence, and people in my church have already heard this. Industry will seek you. Government will sanction you. That means to give official permission or approval for this action. You and your children will walk in the abundance that is born from the tears and blood your ancestors have sown in this land, and I will bring you joy. I'm doing it quickly. Yes. You're not just dancers and singers. You're not just what they said you are and what you have come to believe about yourselves. You are the blessed of the Lord. I will challenge and scatter your oppressors. Listen to this. I will uncover their shame, just as I uncovered the warriors of Jericho by destroying their wall. I will uncover their sinful plots and schemes and scatter them for the sake of my beloved church, and sons and daughters, maidservants and manservants will prophesy and glorify my great name. I am a God of justice. And as I stood there in front of my kitchen window washing dishes, I knew peace, because I knew that God has not forgotten us. He has not forgotten our community. And I know this may be a multicultural blog. I need you to understand this is about the church, and this is about the children of the kingdom of heaven. This is about the children of the kingdom. Everybody's not going to reap these benefits, but I'm telling you that the church is going to reap these benefits. So when I heard this word, I started looking in my Bible for the God of justice, because he says, I'm a God of justice. So I started looking, where do I find that? And of course, you find the God of justice all through the Bible. I don't have anywhere near the time to present to you all of the times that I find the God of justice. But I found him in his name. You know, when you see the names of God, you see the attributes of God. You see, every kingdom has to have a king. when I was coming out of the shower, God reminded me about this again just this morning. Every kingdom has to have a king, and every king has attributes. And if you got good sense, if you live in a kingdom, you better know how your king is. So the king, Jehovah, has attributes, and he tells us his attributes in his name. You've already heard two of them today. You've already heard that he's Jehovah Jireh, he's our provider. You've already heard he's Jehovah Rapha, he's our healer. Here's another one. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. Now, most of you are used to hearing Jehovah Tsidkenu as the Lord God, our righteousness. But if you look at it more closely in the Hebrew, you discover that it's not just the Lord God, our righteousness. It is the Lord God who is righteous, the Lord God who is our just vindicator. So he's the Lord God that's righteous, but he's also just, and he's the vindicator. He's the one that comes and provides vindication for those who can't vindicate themselves. And when I saw that, I did a little step and began to celebrate our God. Here's another aspect, and I hope I don't – well, I know you're recording, so somebody can wants to listen to this, they can listen to it again. When you see the attribute of the Lord, Elohim, that means the Lord God who is the creator, the all-powerful creator. And when you see the name Jehovah, that is Jehovah is the relator God. Elohim is the creator God. Jehovah is the relator God. It's the same God, y'all. I hope I haven't confused anybody. But God gives as much to us as he can give to us in his attributes through his name. Now, we our finite minds, if we had a million years and a full library of the nature of God, we could not get all of the nature of God in our mind. But God gives us some things so we can get an understanding of who he is by his name. So when I see Jehovah Elohim, I know I'm looking at the creator God who wants to relate to his creation. And when I look at Jehovah Tsidkenu, I realize that my God is just. My God is righteous. Amen. Does anybody hear what I'm saying out there?
Amen.
So
amen.
God is telling us, I'm relating to you in righteousness. With that, let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm trying to get through here. Oh, I got plenty of time. I'm doing good. So Isaiah 61 is a culmination of a section of prophecy. It's a culmination of a section of prophecy. So when you read Isaiah 61 and when you look at it, you understand that this is the first public ministry that Jesus did in the temple. This is the first thing he read. So let me read it for you. And I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion." If you tie this back to the word that the Lord gave me, it'll make you happy too. "To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of the anointing of joy." I'm reading in the King James, and the New International Version doesn't say that. "The oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." Verse number 4, "They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." Can I stop right there? I'm going to keep going, but I need to stop right there because I need you to understand that there was a plot against your community that has culminated in what you see today. The plot against your community started generations ago. Generations ago, your families were being destroyed. Generations ago, your men were being snatched out of your community. Generations ago, they had an idea to destroy you completely. Generations ago, people started putting plans in place that said, if I can just kill enough of their babies, they'll all be gone. If I can just push enough of them into the prison system, they'll all be gone. If I can just push enough drugs into the community, did I say that out loud? I think I was supposed to say, think that. I don't think I was supposed to say that out loud. If I can push enough poison into their community, I can destroy them. But here we still are. And the Holy Ghost is still speaking into our lives.
And the Holy Spirit is still moving in our community. And although it looks bad, I'm going to get back to the scripture. Although it looks bad for us, I need you to understand that Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteous, just Redeemer, he is on the job, and he is going to move through our community in such a powerful way that the way you see us in October, the end of September 2020, you're going to look for that community, and you're not going to recognize it because of what the Holy Spirit does in a supernatural, ridiculously rapid fashion. It's going to happen. You'll see it with your own eyes. Okay, let me hurry up. God, I thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Listen, verse number 5. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, verse number 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. And before you think, I see some Bible scholars out there saying he's eisegeting this text to satisfy his prophecy. It didn't actually work that way. The Holy Spirit led me to the 61st chapter of Isaiah after he gave me that word from the Lord. And I don't consider myself to be a prophet. I just recognize that each of us is supposed to be prophetic because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And the Holy Spirit has 100% of the knowledge and wisdom in all of the universe. And if he lives in me and speaks to me, that means he's speaking a word of knowledge and a word of a prophecy and a word of power. All I got to do is listen. Some of y'all aren't going to like me for saying that, but every single one of you ought to be prophetic. Every single one of you should be prophetic. My God, everybody ought to have a word from the Lord while they're washing their dishes, standing in front of the kitchen. What a world this would be. When we hear from the Lord, bless the Lord. All right. I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. This is not eisegetically selected. This is not something I need you to understand that I recognize what provenance is. I know who Isaiah was talking to 2,600 years ago. And I also reckon by the nature of God that I can find truth from Isaiah 2,600 years ago talking to me in the year 2020. If not, what do I have my Bible for? I said that because I know I got to talk to some Bible scholars out there who may want to refute what I said. I'm here to tell you that this chapter of Isaiah chapter 61, you can lay it alongside your life today and walk it out today. The same way that Jesus did 2,000 years ago, 600 years after Isaiah said it. And when Jesus turned around, he laid that text down and he said, guess what? The kingdom of heaven is revealed to you today. We are the children of the kingdom of heaven. We are the revealed nature of God in the world today. The church is too powerful to exhibit what we can't lay down for what we're seeing today. That's all I'm saying. I went all through scripture looking for God, and I found him in Jehovah Tsidkenu. I found that he was a just God, and I see his justice everywhere. He allowed the captivity of the Israelites. He allowed them to be in captivity while Isaiah is talking to them. He allowed them to be in captivity. He's also the one through his grace and mercy brought them out of captivity, because in his justice he always remembers that I made you a promise.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody's in tough times today. Somebody's looking around saying, what's God doing? How is he allowing my community to suffer like this? And God is remembering that he made your grandmamas and your great-grandmamas, when they was on their knees, first they scrubbed floors, and then they prayed all night for a generation that they never saw. And that generation has a promise from God, from grandmamas and granddaddies who had to endure Jim Crow, and grandmamas and granddaddies and great-grandmamas and great-granddaddies who had to endure strange fruit and all of the things that they had to endure so that we can come to the to the place that we see today, and we still see some things that are heartbreaking,
Absolutely.
But God is still on our side.
Yes,
you can't watch Ahmaud Arbery get shot down in the street and George Floyd crying for his mama. You can't watch Philando Castile get shot while he's reaching for the wallet that you told him to reach for and not be affected by the fact that this doesn't look like justice when nobody has to go and nobody has to hardly even go before the court to take a day off from work. But God is a God of justice. I know people are going to be upset and uncomfortable with me. I told you I had another message that y'all would have really loved. And you would, if you could, you'd reach down to the phone and pat me on the back and tell me, what a nice guy. That was such a nice message. And now I got to do this. That's all right. Some of y'all never want to hear from me again. That's all right, too. Listen, God is the one who rescued his people because of his mercy. He promises to save and deliver. His justice, watch this, his justice had David the adulterer who sent out a contract hit on one of his longest companions and had him killed over Bathsheba. His justice had David fleeing down the road from his own son. That's the justice of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord had him sitting back on his throne as an old man and still a king, declared to be a man after God's own heart. That should bless somebody, because all of us have some things that God, if it weren't for God's grace and God's mercy, we'll run into God's justice.
Yeah.
My point is, 2,600 years later, I can look to Isaiah for truth. I can look to Isaiah for truth. And the truth that I see in Isaiah concerning my community is he's given beauty for ashes and the oil of the anointing of joy for the spirit of heaviness. He's lifting us up. He's restoring us, and he's going to do it. And I hate to say this because, you know, I would love it to be for my entire community. I would love it to be for all of us, but it won't be for all of us. It won't be for all of us. It's the children of the kingdom are the ones that are going to enjoy what God is saying about in this prophecy, and that's just the way it is. There are some people who will never inherit the blessings of the Lord because they reject the king. And I told you, when you have a king, you have a king. When you have a kingdom, you have a king, and the king has the right to make all the rules. I've got to follow after the ways of the king. I've got to walk in the ways of Jehovah if I'm going to receive the blessings of Jehovah. He wants to relate with me, but he wants to relate with me the way he wants to relate with me.
Amen.
That's why I have a problem with the hoteps. Now, I'm down in the country. We don't have hoteps down here, but I know in the city y'all got a whole bunch of new things that we haven't seen. Y'all got the percenters, and I don't know which percentage they're on now, but y'all got the people that believe that because you're black, you have the right to the kingdom of heaven. No, because of Jesus Christ, you have the right to the kingdom of heaven. Your blackness is just some pigmentation that you're not even authorized to determine what color you were going to be in the first place. You didn't decide what family you were going to be in, but you get to decide whose family you are in, because if any man be in Christ, oh, my God, let me get back to school. All right. So he rescues us, he looks on us, and every time I read a scripture and I look at my congregation, I say, but what does that have to do with me? What does Isaiah have to do with me? What does these scriptures have to do with me? His throne is righteousness and justice. What's that have to do with me? I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Listen, God is a God of justice, and God is a faithful God. And I can look for his justice and his faithfulness and his vindication in my day-to-day life. I can look for it. See, I know his promises are for everybody, but I ought to look for his promises in the church. I know that word that the Holy Spirit gave me is not for everybody, but I ought to look for that word coming to fruition in the church. I ought to see the people of God being revealed in that prophetic utterance in the church. So I'm looking for God to do what he said he was going to do. The revelation of Christ and his church will closely follow the revelation of the justice of God. The revelation of Christ, and now this is where y'all going to start to get mad at me. The revelation of Christ in the church is going to follow the revelation of the justice of God, and the justice of God has got to be tied to racial justice and integrity in this United States that we live in. If I was in my church and I heard all of that silence, I would say, cricket, cricket. My granddaughter does it now. See, the Lord God who is just, the Lord God who is a redeemer and our restorer and our righteousness, he's going to break the back of that dividing line in the church. That is going to be a true miracle. Y'all just need to believe that.
Amen.
That's going to be one of the biggest miracles that anybody has ever seen in the history of the church. That this American church, racial bigotry and division and separatism and supremacist attitude is going to be broken by the Spirit of God. Everybody's going to say that was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Because if God don't do it, you know it can't be done. If God doesn't do it, you know it can't be done. Now, some of you are in large cities where you have large conclaves of people who look just like you. I don't live there. I live in a small town and I come from a small town where I was always in the minutest of minorities. We had 1,000 people in my high school, and 87 of us were black. Where did I get 87? That's 63 of us were black. And in a town where we are small minority. Then I moved to where I am now in Virginia, and small minority. I went to college at Virginia Tech, small minority. And so, you know, I actually see what I'm talking about. I see the lines of racial division, and it's gotten so much worse. I know you don't want to believe this, but it's really gotten worse in the last few years. Cricket, cricket, cricket. All right. Let me move on. The faithful God that I'm talking about, is going to reveal himself by breaking the back of racial hatred, racial division in the church. Listen, it's not going to happen because everybody thinks the way you do. I got to talk to the majority right now. It's not the God is not going to break the back of racial strife by making everybody think like you do. God is not going to break the back of racial strife by saying, I don't see color. That's not how it's going to work. It's going to work because we have the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ, and we begin to see one another truly as our brother, as our sister, and then the back of that racism is going to be broken. And until then, we'll never see racial justice, and we'll never see racial integrity, and we'll never see justice in the court system, and we'll never see justice because the God of justice has been kicked out of the court system. I have to hurry up. Let me turn over real fast. Let me turn over real fast because this is where the Holy Spirit led me, and I'll jump. I'll allow you, I'm going to jump back in for questions and answers. But go to Isaiah chapter 59 real fast, Isaiah 59 verse number 14 says, "Our courts oppose the righteous. Justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles in the streets, and honesty is outlawed. Truth is gone. Anyone who renounces evil is attacked. The Lord looked and was displeased to find there was no justice." The Lord led me to the scripture 3 times in 3 days. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself stepped in to save them with his strong arm, and his justice sustained him. He put on righteousness as his body armor, placed the helmet of salvation on his head, clothed himself with a robe of vengeance, and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. He will repay his enemies for their evil deeds. His fury will fall on his foes. He will pay them back even to the ends of the earth. In the west, people will respect the name of the Lord. In the east, they will glorify him. For he will come like a raging flood tide driven by the breath of the Lord. The Redeemer will come to Jerusalem to buy back those in Israel who have returned from their sins. In Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is a type and a foreshadow of the church itself. And this is my covenant with them. This is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them. Neither will the words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Thank you.
There is a heart for God, for justice in the land, and we have just simply got to believe. Now, I'm going to open this up for questions. And the question that I have, the first question I have is, do you believe that God is the God of justice in 2020, not just in the sweet by and by?
Amen.
Oh, my token.
Now, obviously, that's a yes or no question. but I expect some conversation behind that. Because I said
it's now and forever.
Say that again. That sounds like my sister down in North Carolina, by the way.
He's the same. He, as he was then, so he is now. He's the same. So if he was the God of justice in Isaiah's day, he's the God of justice now. So, yes.
Amen.
I believe the scriptures say, for I am the Lord, I change not.
There you go.
So if he said he's the Lord, well, first of all, good evening all. Greet you all in the name of Jesus. Good word, brother Pastor. Yeah. Really appreciate you. And thank you for being obedient. Pastor Miles out of New Jersey. God bless.
God bless you.
Amen.
All right. Here's my second question, because it's easy to talk about God up in heaven. But listen to what God says about you. If you believe that God is a God of justice, what are you doing to ensure God's justice? Because back in Genesis chapter 1, he said to you that I want you to go and have dominion. God's in control, brother. Nope. God said for you to have dominion. What are
you
doing to ensure his justice?
Oh, my God.
But that's a good question.
I hear, sir, Minister Edna from Long Island, New York. You know what I hear, sir? I hear God encouraging us and then provoking us to know that he not only he's in control, but you are. I gave you this earth. You, the only way people are going to come and people are going to hear my voice is through you. It's through us standing on not only his word, but giving that action in his word, going out in his word, and standing without fear. I hear God encouraging us. I hear God provoking us. And hear God saying, you don't have to worry about nothing. And even all the things that's going on, I am a God of judgment. Just go in and do what I called you to do.
Amen.
Hey, this is Miles once again to answer your question, brother. What am I going to do? Well, first of all, I'm just going to operate in the gift that he's given me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I stay in my lane and operate in the gift that he's given me, that's going to open up doors. And not defend him, just proclaim his gospel. Because I really believe in all my heart. God never asked us to defend him. He don't need defending. He just needs to proclaim. God bless.
All right.
Pastor, like you said at the beginning, that in Genesis the Lord gave us dominion or stewardship over the earth. But remember also that the Lord gave us, and in the name of Jesus, we have authority to take authority and bind and loose things as well. And so as a church, as the body of Christ, we have to be prayerful. And yes, we need to be active listeners. And when I say active listeners, I mean discerning, asking the Holy Spirit to help us to discern the things that are about us and actively take authority over these things that are unjust. So we are supposed to be active with the Lord. We are part of the body of Christ, and we have more power than we are using, We don't have to be, and as a church, we don't have to be following society. We're supposed to be leading society. We're supposed to set the tone and set the stage of what's supposed to be going on socially in our world. Not stepping back and waiting till things happen and always being a victim. We're supposed to be on the offense, not defense.
Let me ask one more question. Why do we then, every 4 years or every 2 years, host members of whatever party you say, Green Party, Democratic Party, Republican Party, we host them, but we're the answer to every problem, because as Christ is, so are we in the earth. That's what my Bible says anyway, in 1 John chapter 4. As Christ is, so are we. Why aren't they calling for us instead of us calling for them? Why am I calling for somebody that is elected on a party platform to fix the problems that God sent me to solve? Now, the ultimate problem is sin. We understand that. But the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in my church, I teach whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be completely delivered from the power and the potency of sin. The power and the potency of sin, salvation, means that every aspect of sin can be addressed by the blood of Jesus Christ and by that authority that you just finished telling me is in the name of Jesus Christ. Why do I care who's in office? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One of the problems is that we as Christians and call ourselves being socially active, we idolize the donkey and the elephant, as a friend of mine has been saying, instead of coming up under the cross, coming up under the lamb. So if you got to choose an animal rather than the donkey or elephant, come under the lamb. And what does thus saith the Lord? If we are on the kingdom agenda, as Tony Evans says, the kingdom, being about the kingdom agenda, has nothing to do with what the world says. And as the body of Christ, we should take our rightful place in the kingdom and in the world.
Yes. And what had happened was we dropped the ball. We allowed the world to infiltrate our God-given right, God-given authority. I heard you say that we have the attributes. We in the body of Christ, we have compromised. And I mean, we know that these things are to be because we are in the end time. But in the same token, we are supposed to stand and not fall for anything, but stand. And like Dr. Sue said, you know, under the cross, have the cross in us, wherever we go, stand and not compromise what God has given us. See, we are the ones. See, we're supposed to infiltrate this world, but the world,
that's right,
sorry to say, has infiltrated us. That's why, if my people who are called by my name, that's what we have to do, come back and stand up. Let the Holy Spirit stand up in us. You know,
yeah.
And you know what? You're saying a lot of stuff here, sir. And I hope you all understood what I was saying, because what it is that God is expecting us to do what's needed, and we have dropped the ball. I myself have dropped the ball. But God has given us time, if my people, all this pandemic and all this, for God to speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit, again. Get us in that quiet space, in that social distances, being isolated and home again, so he could speak to us. This is what I want you to do, Edna. Not only pray and seek my face, but be active wherever you go. Don't allow, you know what, if we as a body of Christ don't stand, and you know, we've lost our passion. Remember when we first got saved? I'm talking about a lot. When we first got saved, we had such passion. We couldn't even wait till the church doors open. We couldn't wait to get in our word. We couldn't wait to do this, church, and talk about. We lost the passion. I'm not saying that it's not back, it's not coming back. I'm not throwing us under the bus. But what I'm saying, our passion needs to be more on fire. And when that happens, and we have to stop being crabs in the barrel. When God blesses Pastor, when God blesses you and your church, your family, I'm supposed to, I know I'm going off into a tangent, I'm everywhere, but I'm supposed to be happy.
But a lot of us in the body of Christ, if the body of Christ is sick, if the hospital is sick, where are the sick people going to come? If the hospital itself is sick, if we tear one another down, God is calling us. He's a God of judgment. He's calling us. We know the word says judgment begins in the house of the Lord. God wants to pull us in. I saw in a vision one time. I was in prayer with some other ladies. And what I saw was God, his arms were like feathers. And he spoke in that time. He says, I'm gathering my people unto myself. This was a couple of years, a few years ago. I'm gathering my people unto myself. And I believe that what is happening. I'm everywhere. I believe that what is happening right now. But what it is, we have to stand up. What it is, we have to show those attributes of God. What it is, we have to let the breath of God reignite us again and stand and do what we need to do. And the bottom line is to build the kingdom. And how do we do that? Through love and kindness.
Amen.
I know it said a lot. I'm everywhere, but God bless you, sir. This was good. I'm going to listen to it again.
Okay.
And I didn't miss it, but I feel like I hope you all got it.
Okay. I feel just, that righteous. Okay, can I speak? Okay, I feel that righteousness and justice and truth is the foundation of God's throne, and that Christians' ways and actions should be about righteousness, justice, and love. And it says the righteous shall live by faith. So now is the time that we should stand out and go out and let the world see the power of God in us. It says, who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty is the King of glory. So that means that we need to trust in God more. We need to go out there and do his work and stop sitting within the walls. Now we're in the walls of the house and not in the walls of the church. But still, Christians have to show their faces and let people see our power through the Holy Spirit that works within us to do great and mighty things for the kingdom. And we need to be about the kingdom work.
And not just talk it, but live it.
Action. And I thank you for the sermon that you gave today.
It's a great word.
It's inspiring, too.
Amen. 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 Any more comments?
I do have one real quick, because I want to address us. I have to address us. How can the divided schizophrenic church that will hallelujah and shout and jump and dance all morning still espouse white supremacists or any type of supremacist still espouse separatism? I need you to understand that the church that went all the way through the 1900s, all the way up to the 1970s and the 1980s, they would preach and teach Jesus Christ and him crucified and still put on a Klansman's robe and burn a cross that night. What is God doing? That's a question. That's one of those my God, why hast thou forsaken me type questions. What do you think God is doing about this?
Well, back to open.
Maintaining faith in God. We may not see things the way based on our experience, but based on God's word. We do what we have to do and spread the gospel and grow and try to make a positive difference. Maybe re-educate those individuals when they're not in the Klan, their Klan's outfit, but we are who we are. But anyway, they get to see us as who we are.
And may I say something, please?
Mm-hmm.
May I say something, please? I think that sometimes we want God to work on our time, in our time. You know, we think, well, Lord, why aren't you doing something now? I need you right now. But we have to realize that God's time is not our time. And sometimes we just have to wait on the Lord and not get in a hurry, because he is, we agreed that he is a God of justice. And so since he is a God of justice, justice will prevail. Maybe not in our time, but justice will prevail.
I also think it's important to believe that, to know that faith without work is dead. I mean, we can have a faith.
I'm just
going to
say,
things are
even
gonna,
though we wait. Mm-hmm.
That things are going to happen, and we're waiting and, you know, waiting on stuff. But we still need to be acting at the same time, not only preparing ourselves, but preparing our children to carry on the fight or carry the torch or whatever the case may be. But we can't just sit around and just wait.
No.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You know, we're supposed to be the world changers. And what I've seen over the years is that the world has changed the body of Christ. But, you know, some of the things that the body, I mean, if you think about it, and if you have eyes to see what is going on. But, don't get me wrong. I believe God is turning things around because he's soon to come. But we as the body of Christ have to be the body. Know why the world, the nation can't stand? Because he said the house divided cannot stand. It's never going to stand. We're so far away from in God we trust that we are the ones. It's us. God's depending on us. And I'm not saying that he can't make a jackass talk to the president or whatever. And I don't mean to be disrespectful on the line. But what he's saying is, I put my spirit in you, not the donkey.
Yes.
My spirit, you are the image of me. You are the mirror of me. You are the one I've given authority to call those things that be not as it is in heaven. We, like you said, Pastor, for us to take that authority, for us to take that stand. A lot of us has gone to the left or gone to the right, but it's the straight and narrow. And I know that as some of us do get older, we I can't even say that because some of these young people are on fire for God.
Yes.
But we just gotta get it together. If my people who call by my name will seek my face, that's it. That's it. Because like I said before, if the church be sick, where the world going to go? And God is showing himself. He is showing himself mighty. In all this craziness that's going on, he's still showing himself that I am God. And besides me, there is no other. And you know how he does that? Through us. I heard Dr. Suzanne said, or the praise report of somebody being healed. That's just an encouragement to know that we can speak that word. We can speak healing. We can speak deliverance. And a lot of times you don't have to lay hands on people. You could just talk like Jesus did. And that's what we're supposed to do. What would Jesus do? In the simplest form, but the very profound foundation is love. Is love. This was a good word. This was a great word, sir. You need to come to my church. Preach.
This is Miles again. To touch on what you said, we may not ever see the final outcome, but we got to do what Jesus had did in John 9:4. See, we got to work while it's day, because when it come night, no man can work. See, now is your time to plant your seed. Now, the seed you may plant, you may never see that harvest. That may be for your children's children, like you had said before. Great grandma and grandma was on our knees praying for a generation they never saw. That just might be our turn to do the same thing. God bless.
And that's good because prayer goes for generations.
God calls his people to be morally upright. And we have to maybe we have lowered some standards and our principles. We're going walking according to the ways of the Lord. We need to lift up our standards to higher standards according to God's standards and not man's standards. We need to be the community of faith that's walking in the right direction with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So God is looking for us, not the world, to do his work and to build his kingdom.
Amen. My God.
And if I may in closing on this, Bishop, it was definitely a good word. And how I look at it from my end is we are called, we're all called, you know, into the vineyard. And there is, we are to be workers in the vineyard and not standing
mm-hmm.
still, you know, and
mm-hmm.
not proclaiming that we haven't been called. You know, and I
mm-hmm.
believe that as we move forward, as we move forward and we're working in the vineyard, meaning the marketplace, that
mm-hmm.
That we are spreading the gospel. I believe that God has given us favor because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that blood of Jesus Christ, we have comfort. God has given us gladness. He has given us splendor, and as he's given that, we are supposed to rejoice as we proclaim the word of God. It's all about salvation, because that's the bottom line, you know, how I see it. It is all about
kingdom.
Salvation, and if we are now out speaking the word of God and believing by faith, what is faith? The substance of things
mm-hmm.
hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. So when we are speaking out the word of God, we're spreading seeds to those who are not saved. That is our purpose, to go out and share the gospel out in the marketplace. And if we're not doing that, then we're not in the vineyard. We are like those who are in the vineyard who are standing there, you know, and saying, well, God never called me. We are supposed to be spreading the word of God. And as we are spreading the word of God, then there is a blessings behind that. We receive blessings when we go out and spread the word to others. There's an everlasting blessing. There's a covenant that we have with God, and if we are rewarded by responding to that covenant, that relationship with Christ. That is our whole purpose. And whatever we see, however it looks, we are to still rejoice. We still ought to rejoice, knowing that God is on the throne. He's the one that has the last say. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He's the one that's going to make the change, not us. Not us. It's going to be God. God is the one that sits on the throne, and we are the workers in the vineyard, and we're to go out and spread the gospel. As we're spreading the gospel, we may
mm-hmm.
not reach those that we come in contact with, but we're spreading seeds. And I heard someone talk about generations. It may be passed on down to the generations. So we get blessed. We get blessed from the time that we are in the vineyard, but also the generations behind us get blessed also. God acknowledges and rejoices because we're out preaching the gospel, spreading the gospel for those to be saved. And what a wonderful, marvelous, and glorious time that will be when we're all doing that. Spreading the word of God for others to be saved. God does not want us out here just laboring or, you know, for nothing. There is a whole lot of work to do. And many people in the marketplace can be transformed. We're not to look at what someone is doing or where they are or what condition they're in. God is the only one that can judge that. God can take a reprobated mind and turn them around, and they could be one of the greatest productive servants for God that we've ever seen. What do you say? The first will come, will be last, and the last will be first. Those that we think will never, ever do anything, those are the ones who are going to end up doing some marvelous things, and we all have a job to do. We all have a job to do. And I believe in, you know, that
mm-hmm.
the anointed one is God, and God gives favor
mm-hmm.
on those who do the will of the Lord. Bishop, that was
mm-hmm.
a blessing hearing and sharing your word. I liked with your questions at the end, you know, asking the questions at the end, because, you know, that gives an evaluation for those to think about, you know, where are we? What are we doing? And how are we getting there? So I thought that was good on that end. As we come to a close, Bishop Connor, we're going to leave the closing remarks to you. Thank you so much. I hope and pray that we can get you back again. I feel
yes,
that you didn't
Richard.
Have enough time.
Yeah.
I feel that you didn't have enough time, and that's on my end. And I promise you that that will not happen again. I'll make sure that from, 5 minutes after 5 minutes, we're going to move on into whatever the Lord has placed on your heart.
Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. And I also appreciate being elevated to bishop, but I can't afford it, so I'm going to slide back down to just be an elder. It's expensive over here to be a bishop.
He's speaking something in the atmosphere there.
Well, I could just barely hang on where I am. I appreciate the time that you've offered. I appreciate the individuals who have called in and spoken up. And I know I pray, and this is what I ask God for. I simply ask that he would give me a word for this time and for this season. I simply ask that he would give me a word for you tonight that would inspire you and that would promote you to seek his face and to hunger and thirst after his righteousness and to desire the heart of God. The heart of God. And I pray that that's happened. And I know sometimes I'm all over the place, but I pray that there was enough focus tonight that at least you heard what the word of God is speaking concerning justice. God is a God of justice. God is a God of justice.
Amen.
Was I supposed to close in prayer? I forgot what you said that far. Did you want to
say this, Brother John? May I say this one thing, Pastor? Your assignment was a success, sir. It was a success.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, you can move on. Next week, I'm so happy that we had, that I grew up in Princeton, West Virginia, and the last two that you heard, hailed from Princeton, West Virginia. And then we have Bishop Palmer, who is also hailed from Princeton, West Virginia. So we've been hanging in with Princeton, West Virginia. I believe that, many have come out, many have fallen, but many have come out, and God has just raised them up, to do a mighty work for the Lord. And I'm just excited, that we have so many men and women of God that came from out of Princeton, West Virginia. We thank you so much, for your obedience, to share the word of God with us. We're going to leave you with the closing remarks, and we do thank you again. May God bless you, and may he continue to spread you with whatever you do.
Well, praise God. For my closing remarks, I would simply ask that the Holy Spirit would indeed rest, rule, and abide with each and every one of you, not just you, but the families that you represent. I speak the blessing of God into your homes and the blessings of God into your families. I declare God's healing. I declare God's deliverance. I declare the rich favor of God, the word that God gave me early this year, back in January, the accelerated favor of God, the accelerated favor of God. I declare it in your lives, in your homes. I declare it in your tabernacles. I declare it in your places of worship. I declare it over your children that have gone astray. I declare it in that situation that you can't figure out. I declare the accelerated favor of God in your lives and in your home.
Hallelujah.
I speak the rich blessings of God into your lives that bring healing, that brings deliverance, that brings a laser focus to you for that. What must I do to please God? Oh, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. A laser focus in your spirit that says, what must I do to please God? Where should I? What am I supposed to be doing? God has given you focus in your ministry. God has given you focus in your gifts. God has given you focus in your walk. God has given you focus in your marketplace ministry. God is releasing his spirit. Oh, my God. God is releasing his spirit in a mighty way to flow, not just to you, but in your community. You're going to watch God change. You're going to watch God change. You're going to watch God move. It doesn't make sense that all those churches on every corner, there's not power, but power from the Holy Spirit is being revealed in your community right now. And we celebrate you for it, God. We celebrate you for it right now. We celebrate you for this ministry. We celebrate you for this particular ministry, for this telephone ministry, for this sitting around talking about the goodness of Jesus ministry, for the opportunity to teach and to learn internationally even. Oh, God, I thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for releasing the finances. I thank you for releasing the favor. I thank you for releasing the grace necessary for such a day as this. And I bless you right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless
you. May God bless you. We invite, and we also remind you that you can go to the archive and share this with a family or a friend. You can hear any of the speakers. Share this with someone. Amen. They may not hear you, but just let them hear the word of the Lord, and I guarantee you that there, you will see a change in their lives. So you can go into the archives, go into Blog Talk Radio, and then you type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up and share this message with someone else. We'll also be placing it on Facebook, as we always do. Amen. We thank you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back in Maryland with Bishop Palmer.
Amen.
Amen.
I can begin it.